This morning, we'll be looking at a number of scriptures, but we'll start with the verse that we said in Proverbs chapter 27, and then we're going to look at one in the New Testament. So Proverbs is in the Old Testament. Hopefully, if you don't have a Bible, there's someone near you, or you found one of those pew Bibles that are in where the hymn books are stored, and you can look up in the Old Testament. It's Proverbs. New Testament, we're going to look at the book of James. It's almost towards the end of the New Testament. If you get to Revelation, it's just a couple of books earlier than that in the book of James. So we'll look at Proverbs chapter 27. And in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And then we're going to turn to the book of James. The book of James, and it says in James chapter 4, there's a section of verses starting in verse 13, James 4 and verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicings is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So here in both of these passages, it gives the idea of tomorrow or the morrow. The word tomorrow or morrow in the Bible is used about 100 times or more. And it's not all of them are used in the context in Proverbs 21 or James chapter 4. But we're going to think about this morning what the Bible has to say about tomorrow. There was a magazine many years ago called the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists pictured a clock on its cover. The position of the hands revealed that was minutes before midnight. That was the idea of the cover of this magazine. So it was drawing close to midnight. And according to the symbolism, when the hands reached midnight, humankind would have brought about its own end. The question has always plagued people. What about tomorrow? What happens after death? I'm glad that I have the Bible. And the Bible can give me help. It can give some peace to my heart in this area. I don't have to fret. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be in continual anxiousness because the Bible does speak about the tomorrow or life after death. So we're going to consider a few thoughts this morning in regards to tomorrow. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning, give us clarity. Give us freedom and your spirit's working. I pray that, Lord, you would bind Satan and his demons. Lord, you would put them away from our thoughts and keep them away from cluttering our thoughts. And, Lord, we'd be able to look at the Word of God, concentrate on it. Holy Spirit, we pray that your conviction, as even during the testimony, sometimes we don't understand the conviction, what the Holy Spirit can do, but He can come in and knock on our door. He can give assurance and He can say what's being said is right. Lord, we would ask, and I always ask, that you do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have three questions this morning. Three questions this morning. First of all, is tomorrow guaranteed in this life? Is tomorrow guaranteed? Well, Proverbs 27 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So the Bible is indicative, it indicates in the Bible that I am not guaranteed tomorrow in this life. I think many of us can testify to that. Many of us would say, yeah, I know somebody that was telling me that, hey, next month I'm going to come and see you. And next month they weren't here anymore. Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow in this life. You're not guaranteed that. Here in this passage in James chapter 4, it says, go to now. Hey, you guys that say today or tomorrow, we're going to go and do this or go and do that. And then it gives the illustration for us, a vivid illustration. It says, what's your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's giving us the idea that you are not guaranteed tomorrow, and this life is very quick to pass along. And I can remember when I was a young man, a lot younger man, I can remember as a little kid or a teenager, and people, I grew up going to church, and people would get up and preach in the pulpit, and they would talk about the second coming of the Lord. They'd talk about the rapture of the church. And in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, maybe if God would wait a little bit. Because, you know, there's a lot of things I'd like to do. You know, maybe get married someday. Maybe do some other things. So maybe God would just wait a little bit. And the pastor or the preacher would say exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, wait. And he'd say, don't be thinking that. I'm like, well, I just did. All right, so I'm sorry that I thought that. But you might have said, well, maybe you're younger, and you'd say, well, maybe tomorrow, if God would just come back tomorrow, he'd just wait a little bit. But what you're going to find is that age just moves on. Time moves on, and it marches on. Tomorrow is not guaranteed in this life. We'll come to a conclusion about that in just a moment. So our first question, is tomorrow guaranteed in this life? I think pretty easily you know it's not. And biblically, it's established that tomorrow is not guaranteed. So let's look at our second question. Is tomorrow an unknown in the next life? Is tomorrow an unknown? So there's a number of passages that we can look at. So we're going to look at a few of them. We're going to look at two that talk about the next life. The first is found in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians is talking about after, you'll see when we read the text, you'll see it's very clear. This is talking about not now. This is talking about future. But look at what it says in chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, this is talking about the rapture, and it's saying that it's going to come, and it comes suddenly. You can't really plan for it, but it is coming. That's what it's saying. You know perfectly that it is coming. That's verse 2. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And then verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, let's turn to another passage in Peter. All right, Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is talking about the end of all time. Okay, so you have the rapture. And then there's another aspect here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look what he says again in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So what is the Bible telling us? It's telling us, it's answering our question, is tomorrow an unknown in the next life? No. Now the time is unknown. The time is unknown because it comes as a thief in the night. We don't know the day and the hour. But does it mean that I don't know? No, actually, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 3, it's talking about two events. It's talking about a rapture. And the message this morning is not all to talk about eschatology. If you don't know what the word eschatology means, that is the study of end times in the Bible. It's the doctrine of end times. And this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this life is not what it's all about. It's not all about right now. It's not about all getting all you, as some people say, you get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Right? That's not what it's all about. It's not about right now. It's not about the next 5 years and the next 10 years. What it's about is preparing for the next life. And some want us to say, well, you don't know. That's unknown. Well, we have the Bible. And what does the Bible say about tomorrow? It says that you can know that there is an afterlife. You can know that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again, and I need to be ready for him to come back so that I can be in heaven. So in our questions, is tomorrow guaranteed in this life? No, it's not. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. But is tomorrow an unknown in the next life? No, it's not. Because there's the rapture, and then this earth, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is going to burn with fervent heat. This earth that all, you know what, you talk about global warming? Oh, it's coming. Right, fervent heat is coming. This earth, you know, everybody that's all about saving this earth, this, it's showing a very misguided error in their thinking. They think everything is about this earth. It is not. This earth is going to be done away someday, and there's going to be a new earth, a new heaven, the Bible says. And so I know that tomorrow, I don't know when exactly it's going to be, but tomorrow is not unknown in the next life. So our third question, and this is where we'll spend a few moments. So is today important for tomorrow? Is today important for the future? All right, so I said, is tomorrow guaranteed in this life? No. Is tomorrow an unknown in the next life? No. But is today important for tomorrow? Yes. Why is it? Because physical tomorrow is short. And eternal tomorrow is permanent. So guess what one of the tricks that the devil gets you to do? He gets you to focus on physical tomorrow instead of eternal tomorrow. And you put everything, you put all your eggs, as they say, in one basket, and that basket is physical tomorrow. And it's very empty. It's not satisfying. But if we take today and we prepare properly for tomorrow, the eternal tomorrow can be secure. It can be safe. There's a story in the Bible, and this is kind of interesting to me. So in the Old Testament, you have Genesis. The next book is Exodus. So if you'll turn there quickly, and this is where we'll start with a couple of ideas about preparing for tomorrow. Notice in Exodus chapter 8, it's one of the funniest statements to me of a guy. If you know the book of Exodus, Exodus is about the children of Israel exiting out of Egypt. That's the idea of Exodus. So here in Exodus, you are introduced to a guy named Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a name kind of like president, all right? That wasn't his specific name, but it was a head of a position. So here is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is, at this time, he is probably the greatest leader on the planet. So who is Moses? Who is Aaron? Who's this God that's saying, I'm going to wipe you out? And so God, though, says, I'm going to deliver my people, because Pharaoh had taken the children of Israel, put them into bondage, and the children of Israel had cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had said, I will deliver you. He raises up Moses. Moses comes in, and the 10 plagues start. Exodus chapter 8 is one of the stories, is in the middle of this, and Exodus 8 talks about the plague of frogs. Notice in look at verse 5 of chapter 8. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, the rivers, the ponds, cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand, and notice the frogs came up. That's in verse 6. Verse 7, the magicians did so with their enchantments, brought up the frogs. Verse 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. I'll let the people go. And they can do sacrifices. That's verse 8. So it seems to be working. They brought up frogs. And here all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a change of heart. But look at verse 9. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy house, that they may remain in the river only? So here is the thought. Pharaoh is sick of the frogs. Have you ever been around a lot of frogs? It stinks. Well, let alone the noise. They're croaking, keeping you awake. It says in another passage that they were everywhere. All right, in the houses, wherever you look, there was frogs. All right, so Pharaoh says, I want them out of here. Moses comes, says, hey, when do you want this? Look at verse 10. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. So there's famous messages. You can look it up. There's a famous message that a preacher did, one more night with the frogs. All right, because what in the world? All right, so I guess it's not that bad. You know what? Let me just have one more night. You know, I know they're in my pillow, they're in my bed. I don't know, I'm thinking of maybe making an extra little stew. I'm going to catch a few more. Why would you say tomorrow? Except it's a lesson for you and I, isn't it? It seems like when it comes to sin, When it comes to planning and doing what's right, the devil always convinces us tomorrow. It's a famous story about the danger of procrastination. And it's a fable, and in the fable, it talks about three apprentice devils or demons. And these apprentice demons were coming to this earth to finish their apprenticeship. And they were talking to Satan, the chief of the devils. And they were talking about their plans to ruin men. And one of the apprentice demons came to Satan and said, I'll tell them there's no God. That's what I'm going to do. And Satan looked at that demon and said, no, that will not delude many. For they know there's a God. The second demon said, well, wait a minute. I'll tell them there's no hell. And Satan said, you'll deceive no one that way. Men know even now that there is a hell for sin. And the third said, wait a minute. What I will do is I won't tell them there's no God. I won't tell them that there's no hell. I might even vouch and say, yeah, I think there is, but I'll tell them there's no hurry to make a decision. And Satan said, go. And you will ruin men by the thousands by telling them tomorrow. And there are folks sitting here this morning. You have said to yourself, tomorrow I will deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll deal with the afterlife. Tomorrow I'll deal with my soul. And tomorrow has been in your mind for weeks and months, hasn't it? It's been saying tomorrow, tomorrow, and you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And the Bible tells you today is the day of salvation. The Bible says this, if you want to mark down another passage that helps us understand about the afterlife. It says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, guess what? The judgment. All of us will appear before Christ. All of us will answer for today. And you're going to answer for today tomorrow. I know we're making a little play on words there. But the Bible is indicative that today I must plan for tomorrow. It's the story of Proverbs chapter 6. And in Proverbs chapter 6, it gives us about the ant that prepares for the winter. He prepares in the summer for the wintertime. And for us that are here on this earth right now, the devil is telling you, procrastinate, put it off, do it tomorrow. And it is the devil's lie. It is a lie that has been propagated from the beginning of time here on this earth that tomorrow is a given. But it is not. You are not guaranteed tomorrow in this life. But you know about tomorrow in the next life, according to Scripture. So today, plan for tomorrow. That's what we must do. The most dangerous of all delusions is that there's plenty of time. And it may be there's famous men in the Bible. Now, I'll just give you a couple of illustrations in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 27, we read of a man named Pilate. And Pilate, because of position, said, I will put it off. I'll put off a decision. If you remember the story of Pontius Pilate, he was the one in charge, basically, of the crucifixion of Christ. It says in chapter 27 of Matthew, in verse 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate. And so then during the course, there's basically three Jewish trials and three Roman trials. But during the course, they go kind of back and forth. But at one time, and here it gives us a story in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all shout out and said, let him be crucified. And verse 24, the Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, he called for a basin of water, and he washed his hands, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. It is said that in the history books about Pontius Pilate, that Pontius Pilate later in his life lost his mind and he lost his position.
It says in the Bible that when he made this decision that him and the Roman heads were brought into closer friendship. And so he put off a decision on Christ and said, I can be clear of this. And that is the devil's lie. You cannot say, I won't do anything with Jesus. Then by default, you have done something. Because what you did, as you said, I am fine with my sin. What you had said is Jesus' death is not worth much to me. And so by making no decision, you have made a decision about tomorrow and you fall into category of Pilate. Pilate, it is said, as I started out saying in the history books, it is said that Pilate lost his mind. He wanted to have this position, and it's said that he's lost his mind, and some people even say that to his death, he sat and he was wringing his hands saying, I am innocent! I am innocent! He lost his position, he lost his mind, he lost everything, and today, I believe, he is in hell, burning in fire! And I'd imagine he's still crying out, saying, I am innocent, because Pilate thought that today was all that this life was about. And he didn't take today to plan for tomorrow. There was another man in the Bible, in the book of Matthew. It's listed out for us. And in Matthew chapter 14, there's another man named Herod. And Herod got associated with another man, not Jesus, but a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. He was a prophet, kind of the last prophet, preparing the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist at some point came in, and Herod liked his brother's wife, the Bible says. And John the Baptist, being a good preacher, came to Herod and said, that is sin. You can't do that. Herod didn't like it. So he put him in prison, but it seems to indicate that Herod, something with John the Baptist, something in his presence, something in his demeanor, and I believe it was the Spirit of God, spoke to Herod and said, that man, what he is saying is right on. You better deal with it. So it's kind of indicative that Herod would go and see John the Baptist once in a while. And I believe John the Baptist would sit with Herod and say, you're a sinner. It's wrong what you're doing. And you need to take care of that today. Well, at one point, it was Herod's birthday. And Herod's birthday came, and it says the daughter of Herodias came in and danced a wicked dance, immoral dance. And it caused Herod to, his lust just came and it took over. And Herod said, wait, you know what? You can have up to half of my kingdom. And it says this. The girl, being instructed by her wicked mom, said, give me John the Baptist's head in a charger. And it says in the next verse, the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. Now all of a sudden he has dignity and integrity. All of a sudden, I cannot tell a lie. You know what? You've been living in filth and lies the whole time, Herod. But all of a sudden, I have integrity. No, actually, Satan has crept in your heart and he's told you that it's all about now. And so he went down. He was sorry, but not sorry enough to stop his sorry deed. And he went down and he took the head of John the Baptist. And I believe King Herod, it says the same thing. King Herod, if you look up, this King Herod died a vile,
horrible disease death. And I believe today he is burning in hell. Burning in hell, saying to himself, why did not I listen to that preacher, John the Baptist? See, what the devil came to him and said is, tomorrow you can do that. Jesus also talked about a man found in, I believe, Luke chapter 16. It says in Luke chapter 16 that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. And there's another rich man too that is talked about in the Bible. And between the two rich men, what you see is that they believed in now. The one rich man here in Luke 16, you see that he fared sumptuously, he feasted every day, and then in hell he lifted up his eyes. And then he started thinking about eternity, didn't he? There is another story that Christ gave about a rich man, and the rich man, Jesus was even saying, beware of covetousness, and there was a rich man, and he said that he had so much goods that he said, let me tear down my barns and build bigger. And Christ said that God looked down and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And so guess what? Christ, while he was here on this earth, we see the example of King Herod. We see the example of a rich man. We see example of Pilate and all of these men. Maybe it was position. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's materialism. But what the devil has conned you into saying is that tomorrow, I can deal with that. And I'm telling you, you can't deal with everything tomorrow. You've been given today to deal with your eternal life in the tomorrow. I read a message this week. I had never heard of this pastor. So I looked him up. He died about 30 years ago. He was a pastor in North Carolina. His name is Pastor Hudson. Jack Hudson. So I was reading a message this week and I loved it. This is what the message was: the funeral of I Will Later. And this is what he said. I did not know Mr. I Will Later personally, but I know many people who fit the same bill. He is survived by his wife, Mrs. Hope Too Later. He had one daughter named Maybe Later, and two brothers named Sometime Later and Going to Later. Mr. I Will Later forgot the passage in Hebrews 9:27 that says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Man, it was an interesting sermon. I enjoyed reading it because here was a funeral. And at the end, he said, if this funeral service of Mr. I Will Later makes you think about now, I'm so glad that we had this funeral. And it seems to indicate in the message that he got a funeral home to bring in a casket. And it was sitting in front of the pulpit. And when people walked in, he had soft music playing. And here was the funeral service of I Will Later. Because many people die saying, I will later deal with my soul. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. This morning, maybe you haven't thought about tomorrow. You said, I can put it off. Well, the three questions this morning are given for you. What were the questions? Is tomorrow guaranteed in this life? No, it's not. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Is tomorrow an unknown in the next life? No, it's not. According to Scripture, you know what's coming. Judgment is coming. The rapture is coming. The doom of this earth is coming.
I don't know the day and the hour, but I know it's coming. So the next life, I do know. It is not an unknown. So is today important for tomorrow? Yes, it is. Because I can prepare for tomorrow. There was a man named Orville Kelly. He was a founder of an organization called Make the Day Count. And this Mr. Kelly founded the organization after discovering he was terminally ill with cancer. The purpose of the organization was to help those who were fatally ill face the realities of both their disease and their remaining time. And he said, make the day count. And he started a foundation because he realized, I only have a little bit of time left and I want every minute to count. And I challenge you this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, make today count. Make it count for eternity. You're not guaranteed tomorrow in this life, but you are guaranteed in the next life, a life. It'll either be heaven or hell. Do not let even religions con you and tell you, no, you know what? There's soul sleep. No, it's not. The Bible is clear. In the next life, it's heaven or it's hell. So today, make the decision to take care of your eternal life in heaven. Take care of it today. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.